ओम शांति। आई वॉज डिस्कसिंग द थीम ऑफ द प्रोसेस ऑफ ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन विद स्पेसिफिक रेफरेंस टू द इरेडिकेशन ऑफ डीप रूटेड संस्कारास एंड आई वॉज मेंशनिंग द फैसिलिटेटरी फैक्टर्स व्हिच enable us to bring in our practical life the transformation of sanskaras. And I had mentioned four of them. Now I will take up the fifth. Yesterday I was discussing the fourth one, namely vairagya, the dispassion. And today the fifth one I am taking up is the victory. Baba says, you are my victorious children. Vijay Vats. This is one of the desires of every human being. Whatever we want to do, we want to attain success and we want to score victory. Whether we are playing a game, whether we are appearing in an examination or in any other effort in life, we want not to be a failure, but to come out victorious. This is natural to everyone. But in Bhakti Marg, we have a defeatist mentality. We think we are unequal to Maya, we cannot fight the evil forces. All by ourselves, we are weak. And God, by His grace, by His kindness, He alone can liberate us. So we have lost confidence in ourselves of coming out victorious so far as Maya is concerned. But the very first thing which Baba does is, he says, a cycle ago you had won victory. You are my victorious children. And that again reassures us. From that we get the energy. Is that so? If we had done it before, Baba says you have to do nothing new. What you did a cycle ago, that you have to repeat. And what you did earlier, it should not be difficult for you. Because times out of number you have done it. The only thing is that you have to realize that you can do it. Therefore, he says, you are my Vijayvats, my victorious children. Time and again he wants to remind us, we are the victorious children. Victory is writ large on our foreheads. He says, I have given you this mark on your forehead. Vijay ka tilak har ek ke mathe par hai. Baba says, the sign of victory is writ on your forehead. This sacred mark is there, provided you realize. So this is very essential for transformation, because they say, if you have lost your heart, if you have lost your mind, lost your spirit, we have lost the battle. Any country who has ever come out victorious from a war has been the one who had a feeling that they would come out victorious. Those who had lost the spirit, they had lost the battle before it began. So if in our life we want to come out victorious, the first thing is to have a firm conviction, oh yes, sure, we will win. And then half the battle has already been won. Therefore, Baba tells us, feel like that. That certainly, Maya may be very strong. The negativity of our sanskaras may be very great. Sometimes we feel, oh, it is not for me. I can't be a full caste, full-fledged Brahmin. I can't be among the double sovereign kings and queens in golden age. I am made differently. There may be others who can completely eradicate the negativity from their mind, but not me. Because they do not know how much negative I am. So, with that kind of feeling, we make half-hearted efforts. But the very first requirement for self-transformation, make full-fledged efforts. Whatever you want to do, do it with heart and soul. Just put your all energy into transformation. If you do it half-heartedly, things cannot be done that way. It's a great task which you have to do. because that negativity is very strongly entrenched in you. It is very deeply settled. The roots have gone so deep. If you want to eradicate, and your first sign of weakness is that you feel that you can't do it, you cannot do it. You can do it only when you think, because Baba said, I am Vijay Vats, I am a victorious child. Victory is written on your forehead. Baba said, I have given this tilak on you. You see, I will certainly win a victory. If that feeling is there, that 100% conviction is there, faith in me is there, and that victorious child of Baba, then only I can come out successfully from this struggle. So that is the first. Therefore, when Baba says, Aham Chaturbhuj Tattvam, this is what Baba said. When Sakar Brahma Baba had the first vision, it was of Vishnu with four arms. Baba said, Shiv Baba said to Brahma Baba, the voice said, when Baba went to a room and there was light and the Supreme Soul appeared, there was a whispering sound, a voice said, you are to create a new world. And on another occasion that vision of Vishnu Chaturbhuj, Vishnu the four armed was given. And in one of the arms is the mace. The mace is the symbol of victory. When in our country two wrestlers fight, the victorious one at the end is given that mace, which is a symbol of victory. So when we have lotus, the kanch, the discus, and also the mace, that mace is the symbol of victory. So the one of the foremost visions which Shiv Baba gave to Brahma Baba symbolized this victory by this symbol called mace. And now Baba is giving it in a different way, saying, I have given you this tilak. Here is the soul. And on the soul, Baba gives this mark. You are my victorious children. Believe it. It will become. What you believe would become. If you don't believe, it won't become. Certain sisters and brothers meet Bab Dada. Bab Dada gives them a vardhan. But if they don't believe, how can they get it? You are what your belief is. What is human being? What is your personality? Your personality is integration of all your beliefs. Your behavior is your beliefs in practice. Your thoughts are what you believe. So unless and until you believe what Baba is saying, and you believe your future, you believe your potential, you believe that you have these powers, nothing can move. You cannot move even a straw from here to there, unless and until you believe that you can do this. If you just sit with your hand on hand, can I do it? Will it happen? It will never happen. Unless and until you think, oh yes, why not? Me. Baba therefore says, Jo ote so Arjun. In many Murlis, Baba says, Jo ote so Arjun. One who takes up the challenge, who accepts the gauntlet, he says, yes, me, I will do it. Baba, I am here. I take this initiative. I accept this challenge. He alone can do it. He is Arjuna. Of all the Pandavas, why the name of Arjuna is mentioned? And when was Arjuna victorious? You find, if you take any book of Gita, the very first picture shows that Arjuna is sitting like this, which is the sign of disappointment, depression. The Gita begins from depression, you see. That is the start. And the bow, which should be here, and the arrow on the string of the bow, instead of being at that place, the bow is lying down. The arrow is also lying down. And he is sitting like this. A warrior who should be fighting, he is sitting like this. And he says, I cannot fight. I would not fight. And later on he says, I will fight. I will kill all these enemies. People think that he killed the Kauravas. But Baba says, no, the enemy is within you. No human being is your enemy. Baba gives us a beautiful dictum, a beautiful proverb, a beautiful saying. He says, the soul is its own best friend and the soul is its own worst enemy. You don't have any enemy. Sometimes it so happens some people behave with us in a way that we don't like. Some people react to us in a way which is not in good taste. and we develop inimical feelings towards them. Some people don't promote us in life. They don't have good wishes towards us. Or there may be any other kind of a negative behavior on their part towards us. Their relationship with us may not be friendly. So we think they are our enemies. No, go deeper into it. A yogi always goes deeper into things. Why this man is behaving like this? Either it is your past karma. You did something to this soul. Ultimately, it is your own actions which are responsible. Don't put the blame on others. One of the major causes of the trouble is that we always blame others. They say somebody was shooting, putting his gun on somebody's shoulder. He put his gun on, say, let us suppose, on my shoulder, and just aiming at the target. Now, if it hits the target, he would say, just see how good is, what would you say, shot man I am, and marksman. And if he has not been able to hit the target, he would say, Jagdish bhai moved his shoulder. He moved his shoulder and therefore I was not able to hit because the gun moved. So he would never say that I am not a good marksman. He would say, since he moved his shoulder, therefore I was not able to do it. Now who is going to prove whether I moved my shoulder or this man is not a good marksman? Always putting blames on others. But Baba says, no, you are your own worst enemy. If you have negative tendencies, negative divine qualities, the virtues, the purity, your friend better than your own qualities. If anyone helps you, he or she also can help you on the basis of your karma. And your karmas have your roots in your qualities. So qualities are your best friends, or if you have the negative ones, they are your worst enemy. And therefore, if you think, they say there are always two kinds of response to a situation. Either it is fight or flight. When there is a problem before you, either you fly away, run away from there, or you begin to face it. There are two kinds of response. Now Baba says, if you just don't fight to Maya, and you become subjugated to Maya, you will always be suffering. If not today, tomorrow, you have to wage a fight. Without fighting and defeating Maya, and having a victory over it, you cannot have happiness. And happiness is what you have decided to achieve. If you have really made up your mind that you want happiness in your life, no sorrow, no suffering, no disease, no death, no pain, no bad feeling, if that is what your decision is, then it is possible only when you defeat Maya. And for defeating Maya, you have to fight. And for fighting, you must first of all have the feeling that you will come out victorious. What do the wrestlers do? They, in order to build up their muscles, they sit before a mirror. Just see in the mirror, and they think, yes, my muscles are getting stronger. He, by power of suggestion, wants to think, yes, he thinks there is a wrestler with whom he has to enter into a bout, and he would, because of his muscles, throw him on the ground. If he does not have that kind of feeling, if he shivers in his shoes before he enters into the arena, and is shaky before even the other one has entered into it, then he cannot win. The first thing is, he must have this, yes, I can, there is potential. Why? Because Baba said it. Baba knows, he is knowledgeful. When you say he is ocean of knowledge, he is Trikaldarshi, what do you mean? It means what he tells about you also is correct. So you have to believe in it. Therefore, the first requirement is, that you have the feeling, I am a victorious child of Baba. Fight I must. When people say, but why does he behave with me like this? Baba says, he will behave like this. Because such situations will come. If such situations do not come, then what do you mean by victory? If only you are the wrestler and there is no one facing you in the arena, then whom you are going to defeat? You must have a heavyweight to heavyweight, a lightweight to lightweight. If you are getting more heavyweight, you will have Maya also more heavyweight, you see. So you have to enter into that boxing ring and give the defeat. Unless you knock the adversary down, how are you going to win? How there will be clapping? How everyone will say, yes, yes, he has won the victory. So don't grumble, don't grim, don't say, why all these problems, why all these difficulties, why people behave with me like this. I have been tolerant times out of number, but they behave with me very badly. They don't give respect to me. These situations will come. because you were born to face these problems. You, if you want to win the title Vighna Vinashak, the troubleshooter, the one who can, finish all the difficulties, then you have to face them. You must fight them. So, you are, Baba says, non-violent fighters. And not only fighters, thinking we do not know whether we will be winning the victory or we will be the losers. Baba says, definitely, God is on your side. And the victory is there where God is on the side. The last shloka, the last verse of Gita, where the Gita finishes, says, Sanjay says, I heard this beautiful discourse between Krishna and Arjuna, it says. Though actually it should be Shiva and ourselves. But this is what it says. I heard this discourse between Bhagwan and Arjuna, and now I am sure that the victory is on side of Arjuna because God is on his side. This is the conclusion of the Gita. You just read this last one. Before that he says, I am Gat Sandeha, all my doubts are gone. All my attachment is gone. All my questions have been solved. Now I know I am a soul. Now I remember I played this part times out of number. Now I will do what you asked me to do. And after Arjuna has said this, then Sanjay makes the final comment and he says, Arjuna will be victorious now. Why? Because God is on his side. God is not on the side of his adversaries. Because God is almighty. Since God is on our side, even if we have some weaknesses, we cannot fight Maya. Baba will be helping us in the way that he will be guiding us. He will be giving us some kind of a nice advice. This is what all the Mahabharata says. And by means of that, we are certainly going to be victorious. That feeling should be there. Then in many Murlis, Baba says, don't be afraid of Maya. Maya is only a paper tiger. It's a paper tiger. From this distance it appears, that tiger is coming. But that is not the real tiger. That is the paper tiger. Why you are afraid? So if you think Maya is very powerful, time and again you feel disturbed. You feel that you cannot win a victory. But Baba says, consider it as a paper tiger. In many Murlis, Baba gives us the title Maharathi. You are Maharathis. Great warriors. Not only warriors. Great warriors. You can win not only small battles, but great wars. Not against one evil. Sometimes we say, we have this circumstances, that one, the other one, and still the other one. If there were only one problem, we should be able to solve it. But we are surrounded by problems on all the sides. Because you are a Maharathi. A Maharathi is supposed to be surrounded by enemies from this side, from that side, from this side, from back side. And he has to fight them all together, all at once, single-handed, with the powerful guidance, command and advice of his commander, namely God. So Baba says, you are not only a soldier, but a Maharathi. And sometimes Baba says, it appears to be like a hill. Whenever there are problems, you think it's a big hill, you cannot cross it. It's like Himalaya standing in your way. How can you achieve your goal? How can you reach your destination? It's a great obstacle which you cannot override it. But Baba says, they are not that kind of a mountain. They are mountains made of cotton. They are mountains of molehill. They are not mountains of that kind. So if you just take it in that light, which in other words means, if you just in the mirror of your mind think that your power has become manifold because God is there. Now there may be, one may be only sifar, zero. But if zero is before one or before two, then it becomes 10 or 20. So if we have a small value, but if we are attached to someone who has the highest value, then our value increases by that amount. Since Baba is with us, so our value gets so much enhanced. It is because we are with Baba. Baba is with us. So if you think like that, then you will certainly be victorious. So you can change your sanskaras wholeheartedly at a high speed if you have this firm faith and this remembrance that you are victorious child of Baba. And this is another center of energy where Baba touches us. Then the sixth one is sovereignty. Everyone wants sovereignty. We don't want someone to dominate us. We want to be masters of ourselves. If some people try to subdue us, to dominate us, to subjugate us, we say, what do you mean? I have my own life, let me live peacefully. Why you always try to overawe me? You are trying to rule over me. I am not your slave. Let me free. So everyone wants the sovereignty. And Baba therefore starts that card in us, which is symbolic of this. And Baba says, you are the double sovereigns, the would-be double sovereigns. You have the double crown sovereigns. Each child would be the sovereign. Sovereignty is one of the important things which people are discussing in this world. Who will be the sovereign? And the sovereign nations they want to become, every one of them. Why there is disintegration in USSR? Each republic wants to be a sovereign. It does not want to be ruled by anyone. The Baltic states, each one of them wants to get out from the USSR and each one to have a separate sovereign identity. Similarly, so many other people have tendency. The Sikhs in India, they want to be a sovereign nation. The Kashmiris in the north of India want to be a sovereign nation. Every human being has a bit of this kind of a feeling that it does not want to be ruled by others. And we all of us have this. And Baba says, if you want to be sovereign, you can be. And that kind of sovereignty which he promises us is very, very different from people are dreaming of. They are trying to attain only for a couple of years. And at the point of guns, by fighting violent wars, and which is full of sorrow and suffering, leading them to bloodshed among themselves. Again, it brings in disintegration. There is so much of hatred and violence in these kinds of sovereignties, which are not sovereignties as a matter of fact, because they are divided. Not the whole lot. There is violation of airspace, of the land space and so on. What is this sovereignty? We have to protect our sovereignty at such huge a cost. It engages so much of our attention and energy. But Baba wants to give you another kind of sovereignty. Double crown sovereignty. Because this sovereignty, which is the rule of the thumb, is not the real sovereignty. The sovereignty is where purity is. They say Christ is the sovereign who rules the mind of millions without any crown on his head. But Baba wants to give you the crown of gold as well as the crown of light. Therefore, he says both are necessary and that kind of sovereignty I want to give you. And this sovereignty can be attained only by those who purify their sanskaras, change their sanskaras. Because first of all, you must have the crown of light. Then you have that crown of gold whereby you have this kind of sovereignty. And Baba therefore says, you are princes and princesses, I see you in that light. And therefore your activity should be according to that vision. Then in order to have that kind of sovereignty, in order to bring in transformation ourselves, in ourselves, Baba says you can be the sovereigns of golden age, provided you first of all rule over your senses. And we say yes, we want to have sovereignty and we want to rule our senses. Then transformation begins to take place. Then Baba says, you can have that sovereignty, you can become a bigger sovereign. It depends upon the more the number of gems of godly knowledge you have, the more will be the diamonds in your crown. The bigger will be your sovereignty and you will be more and more high a king if you have more and more spiritual and godly knowledge. Therefore, study this knowledge attentively. Try to have the gems of godly knowledge more and more in your mind. So when we have these gems of knowledge, naturally the thorns or the pebbles of the negative, the old sanskaras are replaced by the gems of knowledge. Because knowledge is light. When you get this knowledge, then the darkness vanishes. When you get these gems, they replace those negative tendencies. Then again, Baba says, you can have this sovereignty by means of the power of purity. Some people win the kingdom by the power of the sword, by the power of weapons. There have been many kings who won a victory against the neighbor and conquered their territories by the gun power, by the militaristic power. But this kind of sovereignty can be had only by the power of knowledge and by the power of yoga. Since we decide to become sovereigns, therefore we want to have that knowledge and to have yoga power and purity. And in order to have this, naturally we change our sanskaras, the transformation takes place. And then Baba qualifies this sovereignty in order to motivate us to have that sovereignty. He qualifies it with certain adjectives. In Hindi, Baba says, this sovereignty will be atal, akhand, nirvighna, ati sukhkari. These are the four qualifying words, phrases, which he uses. Atal. Atal means nobody can shake it. It's not that there is an adversary, like we have a prime minister, he is the head of a minority party, and every day he has, you see, the fear that some party may gain power and dislodge them from the seats they are occupying, the ministerial seats which they are occupying. President Bush again is trying to fight an election and come out victorious. Only for a few number of years he becomes a president, and then again he has to wage an electoral battle in order to come out victorious again. So there are other people who want to challenge him in that electoral fight and to defeat him by means of votes. But in our case, the sovereignty which we attain, no one can dislodge. We don't have the fear of any enemy, someone who is our opponent, who wants to take away our chair. And we don't have sleepless nights always thinking, well, how can we have the majority? And how can we have a lasting period of rule? Baba says this is self-rule. This sovereignty is self-rule. The other people also use the self-rule, this kind of a phrase. But actually that is not self-rule. This rule of the self over the sense organs, over the mind, is actually what self-rule is. And by means of this, the sovereignty which you gain, one of the qualities of that sovereignty is it is utter. It is stable. Unshaky. You have no opponent, no enemy. No fear of getting dislodged. Then the other is akhand. Akhand means it is limitless. There are no divisions. That India is a country which has this territory. Then begins the territory of Pakistan. Then of Bangladesh. And so on. This is your airspace. That is their airspace. This is your part of the sea, ocean. And that is their part of the ocean. Your ships can enter there subject to certain conditions. So on and so forth. But not in this case. Your sovereignty will be akhand, limitless, on the waters, on the air, on the flora and fauna, on the land, everywhere. It will be unchallenged. It will be accepted by all. So that kind of sovereignty you will have. Atal, akhand, and then he says nirvighna, where there is no fury of nature, no destruction, no calamity, no catastrophe, no any kind of mishap, nothing untoward is happening, no unparliamentary act, no rebellion from the people. So it is nirvighna, without any obstacle. And then he says, ati sukhkari, it will be full of happiness. There will not be even a touch of sorrow or suffering in this. So in order to have this kind of a sovereignty, if we have to have a little effort of transforming our sanskaras, why not do it? Because we will be so much losers if we don't change our negative sanskaras. This therefore gives us an impetus. Like when you go to a university, you have a prospectus. If you study this up to this standard, then you will qualify for such and such job. You will have such and such prospects in your future life. You study secretarial course, you study computer, means of communication, keeping the files, and some other things, and you can become secretary to a big industrial boss, for example, a highly paid executive, or so on and so forth. You are enchanted by these prospects, and you say, yes, we spend 1 year and study wholeheartedly, because we want this job, you see. But nothing is comparable to this kind of sovereignty, which has 100% purity, peace and prosperity, and security, and health, wealth and happiness. What else do you want? And what price you have to pay? The price you have to pay is only what the bad you have. You have only to give it up to to the rubbish thing to which you are clinging. That's all. And what you will be getting is amazing, surprising, uncountable, immeasurable, unmentionable, in the sense that nobody can make a list of it. So, when we see what we will be gaining, then we make the efforts. Here is the impetus to bring in the transformation. Then, sometimes Baba says, take the case of the political party in your country, Congress, for example, All India Congress. What did Mahatma Gandhi do, Jawaharlal Nehru do, and others do? For gaining the freedom, for establishing the sovereignty, they made some sacrifices. They gave up their lucrative legal practice, their hearth and home, and some of them were suffering in jails for some time, suffering even humiliation from the foreign power. What for? Why all this? In order to gain the sovereignty. So Baba says, my dear children, can't you sacrifice your attachment, your arrogance, or all this negativity for establishing this kingdom? So a new kingdom is being established. Now Mahatma Gandhi established that Ram Raj he wanted to establish, but actually it has become Ravan Raj. This is what he is mentioning in the Murli every time. Now I want to fulfill that dream of establishing Ram Raj, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of paradise. And can't you make these small sacrifices for establishing that kingdom? So this again motivates us for the sake of getting that sovereignty for us, for our mother country, for our society, for the whole civilization. And therefore, we want to make sacrifices. And this motivates us to bring transformation in the self. Then the seventh is the power. Everyone wants some power. There is no human being who does not want this, that or the other kind of power. Some are power hungry. Others don't show any thirst or hunger for power, but they have the desire to have some kind of power, to come closer to the centers of power, or to have power in their own hands. And very often people have been mentioning some kind of power, which we take the philosophy of Nietzsche, for example. He says that man is after power. Many psychologists, they say, like Sigmund Freud says that libido is the center of all our activities, the excel of all our activities. There are others who say all our activities are motivated by the instinct to have power, to gain power in this life. They say even sex is for having power, for having domination of the male over the female, you see. Or it may be the other way around. As I was saying, some females are better than males insofar as domination is concerned. It depends upon the personality. But there is always some kind of a desire to have power. And Baba says, children have these eight powers. He therefore gives us a better substitute. Yes, power is necessary. Without power, what is the charm in life? Without power, if you have weakness, then again you are lacking something important in your life. Power, okay, yes. But these eight powers, and I would like to add to those eight powers. I find that sometimes we don't have those eight powers because there are other four powers which we lack. If we lack in those four powers, these eight powers also cannot be attained. One is the power to forget and the power to remember. Now, why we can't tolerate sometimes? It is because somebody has done something wrong to us and we cannot forget. Therefore, we cannot tolerate. Not only at that very moment, but even later on, if we cannot forget, that intolerance in us lingers on, in our mind. It is very difficult to forget somebody who has insulted us in the presence of so many people, who has hurt us really, to the core of our mind. Somebody who has really been very rough to us, behaved very rowdily towards us, or who harms our interest, we cannot sleep. We have to take some sedatives, certain things which can bring us into sleep, you see. It's very difficult. But if we have this kind of power to forget, you see, In order to have that power of tolerance, this power is essential, to forget. And also the power to remember. You have a gun in your hand, and the enemy, the thief or the dacoit, the robber has entered your house. You require the gun, you kept the gun for this purpose. You took the license because you thought that if someone who has a violent tendency enters your house, you must have a security weapon. You have this. But where you placed it, you don't remember. You see. Or if the weapon is there, where are the cartridges, you don't remember. You see. Then, what is the use? You have all the points of knowledge, which can enable you to win a victory over vices, over Maya. But which point to use when the situation comes, if you don't remember, you see, you lose the battle. So that remembrance of Shiv Baba, of soul, that I am a soul, and so many other beautiful points which Baba has given us, if at just at the moment when we require it the most, if that is then only that we forget, and other times we do remember very easily. So the power to remember, the power to forget, they are important powers. I think we should add to those 8 powers, these 2 powers also. Then, another is the power to give and the power to forgive. Forgive. You can forget also only when you forgive. If you don't forgive, you can't forget. And if you can't forget, you cannot tolerate. And if you can't tolerate, then you lose. Because then, there is one thing, one important thing which you don't have. The patience, the sweetness, the peace of mind. You lose so many precious things. You lose your purity, your divinity, your spirituality, your balance of mind, the moment you are not tolerant. And you are not tolerant because somebody has hurt you and you are unable to forget it. And you are unable to forget it because you can't forgive it. Forgive him. So this again is a power, you must be able to forgive. Because it will be a great loss. If you are not going to forgive him, alright, then what are you going to do? To kill this man? What are you going to do? Just as they say, honesty is the best policy. Otherwise you will be involved in one problem and the other afterwards. You will be involved in complex problems. If you don't adopt this policy, honesty is not only a virtue, but it is a policy in life. If you want to lead a happy life, a life above these bad things of the world, then you must be through and through an honest person. A person with tested and testified integrity. That is one of the 4 most virtues. First of all, you must be honest to yourself, honest to your Creator, to God, honest to your family, your fellow beings, your neighbors, other human beings, honest to the society. Honesty has so many dimensions. If you are honest, other virtues also begin to come in you. And this should be the policy of leading a happy and a good life. Not only a virtue. A virtue may be a small thing, but a policy is a greater thing and virtue comes in it. It is included. Similarly, I say, forgiving is a policy. By forgiving, you can make that person again your friend. You can win him. If you don't forgive him, he will be lifelong your enemy. Alright, today he has behaved like this, tomorrow he will behave more bitterly, because he remains to be your enemy. By forgiving, you can smile, you can behave with him nicely, you can be humble to him, and the vice will be from within him. He is being nice to me, and I am treating him badly. I am a bad man. I should change myself. So a voice will come up in his conscience. So there is expectation, there is hope that he would change. So isn't this a policy of forgiving? Moreover, if you forgive him, what will happen? You have your peace of mind. Your mind is one piece. Otherwise, there will be hatred. You will be planning, scheming to take the revenge. You will have enmity, jealousy, so on, so forth. So is it a policy? Because it does not give you happiness in life. Can there be any worse policy than this? This is not a policy at all. A policy is something which takes you to success. Anything which takes you to defeat, to sorrow, to suffering, to sadness. And that is a damn policy, not a policy, you see. So, forgive. forget, and not only forgive, also give. If he did not give you love, if he did not give you respect, which is what you mean by saying that he insulted you, or he behaved roughly with you, you give love to him, you give respect to him. If you do not give love and respect to him, you do the same thing what he is doing. So if he is to blame, you also are to blame. The only difference is that he was rough, rude and insulting only 2 minutes ago, and you become like that 2 minutes only afterwards. Difference only time, 2 minutes gap, that's all. But on the equal footing, maybe you become more repulsive. So I could say that giving can also be called spirit of giving, tendency. But I want to call this as power. Why? Because there are people whom you won't not think that they are worthy of being loved, because they insulted you so much, they harmed you so much, they have been so much negative towards you. So you think that they are not worth being given love. It would be waste of your love, waste of your energy, waste of your attention. But to give love even to such people requires power. It's difficult to be nice to people who really harm you, who really want to hurt you, and to be revengeful to you, and have all this negative behavior towards you. So unless or until you have that power, there are some people who are liars, they speak lies. Some of them are impulsive liars. They just because of some impulse speak lie. Later on they repent. Oh, why did they say this? Sometime in order to protect their honor, to save themselves from a difficult situation, they tell a lie. But by nature they are not liars. They think they did a wrong thing. Why did they tell a lie? But it was only an impulse which made them tell lie. Otherwise, they would say, we would never think like this. There was some bad thing in our mind. It came to our surface. We did it. But there are some compulsive liars. They always speak lies. They cannot speak the truth. Like Duryodhana, I was telling you, he could not do a good action. Whatever action he was doing was full of mischief, evil. He was the veritable devil, the embodiment of negative, total negative. So similarly, there may be some compulsive liars. They feel compelled to lie. There is something negative in them. They must speak lies. They can throughout their life never tell the truth. But they would always say, I tell you truth. Always they say, I am telling you the truth. After every 3 or 4 sentences, they would say, you believe me, I tell you the truth. You see, I don't know whether in order to counterbalance what is happening, their own mind is revolting. It is saying from within, you are not telling the truth. But in order to silence that bias of within, they want to speak, because their ears will also listen. They say, I am telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. But are you really telling the truth when you do not know the truth? You see, some of them are compulsive liars, what I am saying. So comparing that quality, I want to say we should be compulsive givers and forgivers. Our mind should always be full of these two tendencies. Whatever one does, forget about it. Forgive him. Give him love. Give him sympathy. Now, one of the 8 powers is cooperation. What is cooperation? Giving a helping hand. This is also giving. Unless or until you have the tendency to give, how can you give cooperation? Cooperation is one of the things, one of the acts of giving, of love. For example, love is an act of giving. So we should be compulsive givers. Much of the trouble in the world is that we have expectations, we are demanding people. We are grabbing, we want things from the people, rather than to share it with them, to give them. But I am saying that these two powers must be added, giving and forgiving, and forgetting and remembering. Add these 4 powers to those 8, then it would be better. Therefore wants us to have these powers, because the sovereignty which I mentioned earlier can be had only by means of these powers. Then Baba says, Pavitrata bal hai, purity is power. Purity is not only a virtue, it is power. Anyone who has observed purity for a number of years, all his thoughts would be fruitful. He cannot have a single thought which will go waste. Such is the power of purity. So, purity, Baba says, is power. If you want power, have purity. Because there is no power bigger than purity. Spirituality is power. Baba therefore expresses this in this term. Spirituality is power. Religion is power. Religion has its command over the minds of millions. It is influencing millions. So there is power in religion. Now what is religion? As a matter of fact, religion is not reading scriptures or performing rituals. Religion is actually a religious experience. The experience which comes by control of mind, by linking ourselves to God. That experience is something which does not come through the senses, through the sense objects. Therefore, in order to distinguish it from those kinds of experiences which come through the sense objects, we give it another name. Its name is religious experience or a spiritual experience. A religious experience or a spiritual experience is a direct experience, not through the senses, but from soul to soul, from mind to mind, or from the Supreme Soul to the soul. So that experience is power. And then Baba also says, knowledge is might, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Why do we say the technological know-how is a power, technical power? Power of the scientific power. It is actually the power of knowledge. So knowledge is power. People nowadays talk of economic power, political power, social power. And in political field they say, power corrupts a man. And absolute power corrupts him absolutely. Now that is a corruptive power. But Baba is giving us those kinds of power which are reformatory in their nature, transformatory, which bring purity, which bring sublimity. It is a power which removes the corruption rather than the power which corrupts. So they are having power, only limited power for some time, for a short period, and which has a corruptive influence. Whereas Baba is asking us to have those powers which have the reformatory impact, the transformatory influence, which give us a nice or a better, a higher experience. They are therefore talking of levers of power. Some of them are kingmakers, the political maneuvers, whose opinion determines who will be the prime minister and so on. Baba says, you are the kingmakers. When you give knowledge, you ask a person to be pure, you ask a person to be yogi. By means of that, that person becomes a sovereign. So, what you are doing, what we call service here, what is service? Service is making people sovereign, making kings and queens, prince and princesses. Baba says, you are studying here. It is a college of the future princes and princesses. Now you are in the ordinary form, but in the future you will be prince and princesses. So you are the king makers. Can there be any power greater than this? A king has more power or a king maker has more power? Who has more power? If you are the king maker, the giver of the crown, then your power is higher. And not only that, king makers, but Baba says we are becoming from beggar to prince. In many Murli he says, children, we are becoming from beggar to prince. Now everyone is begging for peace, begging for happiness, begging for tranquility, begging for purity. Everyone is begging for something or the other. But by giving this knowledge, you are making them prince and princesses. From beggar to prince, this is the highest, the greatest power. Mao Zedong, whom nowadays perhaps they have changed his name, Mao Zedong or something. They have made it softer in pronunciation. He used to say that power comes from the barrel of a gun. And also people talk of balance of power. All the people, either economic power, political power, social power. But Baba says, just see what they are talking about. The real power comes from the spirituality, from the purity, from the sublimity, from the yoga. Yoga is the highest power. So, we are trying to have that kind of a power. And When I was saying that to all those eight powers or eight shaktis, we should add four, namely to forget and to give and to forgive and to remember, add another, the power of contentment. It's very difficult to be contented. We are to find only a rare person who is totally contented and for quite a period of time. Today this person may be contented, he say, I am very happy. Tomorrow if you meet him, he would say, I try. Sometimes I am happy, sometimes I am not. You see. So, it requires a lot of power to feel, I am blessed. By attaining Shiv Baba, I have attained everything. I got everything. You just do a random survey. You just stand on the street and whosoever passes the street, you say, gentlemen, can I ask you a question? He will say, yes. What is that? Are you contented? No, I am not contented. Then ask another man. Everyone would say that he or she is not contented. To be contented, therefore, is a great achievement. And nothing can be achieved without a power. Every work requires energy. In physics, when we study force, energy or power, it is for doing some action. It is required. So if you want to attain at contentment, which is the highest attainment, because you will be contented only when you have attained everything. Without that, how can you be contented? If something is yet to be attained, you would say, I am not totally contented. If you say, I am contented, but then you would add this word, not totally. Yes, I am contented, but not totally contented, because some of the contents are missing. They have yet to be attained. You don't have all the contents. And for that, the power is required. The power, all these powers, power of knowledge, power of purity, power of yoga, as I was saying, power of spirituality, this power of religious experience. When you have these powers, all these powers combined together make the power of contentment. They give you the power of, the net result, the total result out of these powers is, you are fulfilled. Yes. Now I have no desire. Have you yet seen a person who has absolutely no desire? You see, it is possible only when a person has a feeling of fulfillment that everything has been achieved. And if we have that feeling even now before we have achieved everything, if there is the hope, the conviction that everything will be achieved, then also we can be near about contented, near about totally contented. 100% we may be contented when we have achieved everything. But when we have the assurance, 100% assurance, we will achieve everything. There is no doubt about it. Then also we may feel like totally contented. And how can we feel that? Only when we think that we have attained Baba. And Baba has promised that He would give us our inheritance. We are His children. He has come to give us His inheritance. If we have that full faith, then we can have that near about total contentment. And this therefore is also a power. The behavior of a contented man is different. A contented person is a self-controlled person. His mind does not waver. He is not shaky. He is stabilized in his mind. Because he is not ambitious. There are no desires which are ruling his mind. He is not after things. Not thirsty or hungry of things. So naturally, such a person will be calm and quiet and fulfilled. There will be the vibrations of peace from him. Peace will be raining from his face, from his eyes. Smile will always be there on his face. Contentment. Therefore, this also is a power. Let us attain that kind of power. So Baba therefore asks us to attain these powers. The more we are trying to attain these powers, the transformation of sanskaras will change. Now, as I was saying, these are the facilitatory. I would come later on to the other side, to the inhibitory. Because when you bring in light, the darkness automatically goes. You need not just take a broomstick and try to wipe out the darkness from your room. That is not the way. The way is to switch on the light and the darkness is gone out. Similarly, when you bring in these things, what I have been mentioning, you bring in the powers, you bring in the love, you bring in that vairagya, the negative sanskaras will automatically go. Then the eighth one is freedom. Everyone wants freedom. Especially this is the slogan of the West. Freedom. Liberty. Liberty, fraternity and equality. Liberty comes first of all. The Statue of Liberty in America they have built. It is a tourist attraction. Liberty. All the movements, the French Revolution and so on. What for? Freedom. We want freedom. They say we should have freedom of speech, freedom of action, freedom of belief, freedom of thought, so on and so forth. Freedom. Everyone wants freedom. Who is this man? He is a freedom fighter. Freedom. Now, what is actual freedom? Baba says, I give you freedom. The real freedom. Now, how many kinds of freedom Baba gives us? Freedom from worry and anxiety. If you have the freedom of anxiety, freedom of expression, but the mind is worried. So what is your expression? Your expression will be the expression of worries. It will make other people also worried. When you go on speaking about worries, the other man gets worried that you are worried. The father is worried because the child is worried. The husband is worried because the wife is worried. You see. A friend is worried because his friend is worried. You see. So all are buried under worries. But if you want freedom, the real freedom is that you must be free from worries, from anxieties. Also freedom from curries, I will come to that later. Freedom from our weaknesses. There is not a single individual who does not have one or the other kind of weakness. Freedom from weaknesses. What a great freedom it is. Baba says, I will remove all your weaknesses, fill you with power, energy, and with all the best. Freedom from slavery to senses, another kind of freedom. Freedom from gurus, into whose shackles we are. Now like Karl Marx said, laborers of the world unite, you are going to lose nothing but chains, he said. But what they lost is their own, that federation, you know, instead of the chains. But Baba frees us from the chains of gurus. Chains of our karmas. So many kinds of chains. This is the real freedom. Rousseau, a French philosopher, said, man was born free, but he finds himself everywhere in chains. Man was born free. But was man really born free? Everyone was born with a karmic account. Everyone had attachment with one or the other because of the karma. So, how could we say that everyone was born free? Because he didn't know that there is rebirth or reincarnation. There has been a past life because of which there are some chains in which each one of us is already bound. So, but he also talked about freedom. Everyone talks about freedom. But Baba is giving us this real freedom. Then again, freedom from various kinds of moods. You will hardly find a person who is free from all negative moods. There are 16 moods. Major moods, you know. But you are under the influence of one or the other mood. Hardly there is a blissful mood, constant. So freedom from the negative moods. Freedom from disease, absolute freedom from disease, which is what health is. Freedom from death. No one has freedom from death. They say death is as sure, in fact, anything which is sure, they say it is as sure as death. Death is sure. So we have no freedom. But freedom from death. Freedom from sorrow. Freedom from addictions. Freedom from the furries of nature. Nature will become our servant. Baba says, Prakriti aapki dasi banegi. That will become your servant, maid servant. So, how can we have freedom unless our thoughts are free? Free from negativity. Now, whatever we think under the influence of Maya. Even our thoughts are not free. They are colored. They are polluted. We have mental pollution because of the negative thoughts. So when our thoughts are not free, how can our actions, our speech and their result be free? So the first freedom is the freedom from the negative thinking. The waste thoughts, the weak thoughts, the bad thoughts. The evil thoughts, the thoughts which have the vices in them. So that is the first freedom which brings in its trail all the other kinds of freedom. And Baba says you have to work for that freedom. When you become attentive to attaining that kind of freedom, then the sanskaras naturally, automatically change. Now another one is faithfulness. All of us are faithful to one or the other. The husband says, I am faithful to my wife. Or my wife is not faithful to me. Whatever, they talk of faithfulness. The servant to the master, the people to their king. Always in terms of faithfulness in our relationships is necessary. Faithful. We always write at the end of our letter, yours faithfully. Whether we have faith or not, but it has become a formality. Yours faithfully. So, faithfulness. And if we work for these kinds of faithfulness, which I am just going to mention, our sanskaras begin to change. Baba also says, you are my faithful children. Do you have faith in me? Now, these are the kinds of faith. One is faith in Baba, which brings transformation in us. In knowledge, that is what Baba says. Then in our future, if we don't have faith in our future, then also we cannot make progress. Faith in our divine potential, that we have that potential in us, whereby we can transform and become really great. Faith in the law of karma. Sometimes we suffer, we say, this person has been unjust to me, unkind to me. But hardly do we remember that it is the law of karma which is operating. It may be because of our past karmic account that this man is behaving like this. At that time, we don't have faith in karma. Though at the rest of the time, we profess our faith in karma. But when we are on the side of the suffering, when we suffer that lot, at that time we forget the law of karma. Our faith becomes weak. We say, but we did nothing wrong. Why this was done to us? We forget that if we did nothing wrong now, we must have done something wrong in the past. Without having done something wrong, without the cause being there, how can the effect be there? That is the law of karma. So to have faith in the law of karma. Then to have faith in the Baba, in Baba's promises. First I was talking about knowledge in general, having faith in all the knowledge. It is a cycle, it repeats after 5,000 years that I am a soul, that we come from Paramdham. Faith in all this knowledge. And then faith particularly in the law of action. That is also a part of knowledge, but particularly in that. Because we are very much influenced when we forget about that law of action. And faith about Baba's promise. Children, don't worry. I will take you to Paramdham. Give you karmatita avastha. Jivan Mukta Avastha. I will give you my inheritance of purity, peace and prosperity. So his promise is naturally going to be fulfilled, provided we have the faith in it, that kind of faith. So I have talked about the 9 points and the rest I take in the evening. Thank you. Om Shanti.